Hi everyone, I'm Aaron, and I am the lead author on the OpenPGP specification for post-quantum cryptography. And I'll introduce also him because, sorry, microphone, we got only one. And he is the crypto team lead at ProtonMail. He's also the maintainer of OpenPGP.js and GoPenPGP, two fairly well-known libraries of OpenPGP. Today we're here to talk about post-quantum cryptography. He had a buzzword, as he said. And we're going to first have a little brief look at what is OpenPGP. Who knows what is OpenPGP? Ah, that's great. Wow. Please, next slide. So this year we just released RFC 9580. That is the update, a long due update to OpenPGP that deprecates pretty much whatever is in 4880. And introduces new cryptography. It formalizes elliptic curves and all of this. They were in the protocol, but they were added into certain site specification, not really clearly. And well, it does a good job. And Daniel held a presentation about this crypto refresh last year here at Fosdem. But everything that is in it, it's still classical cryptography. So mostly it focuses on elliptic curves. Now, we have this issue that is quantum computers may be coming. So please, we have a nice picture of a quantum computer that as of now do pretty much nothing, and everyone doesn't know when are they coming. So we've seen from 2006, well, 10 years away is still a little bit too short. The other day, January 8th, I don't know if you can read it, probably not, NVIDIA CEO says they are 20 years away. We don't know whether they're coming. We don't know when are they coming, but
it's
they
10 years away.
Exactly, it's like nuclear fusion, always 10 years away. Next slide, please. So, but they might be coming eventually. I hope. I don't know. I hope not. So we look at the progress of the qubits, and effectively, it seems like they are increasing. Now, a quantum relevant computer to break cryptography, it requires at least 10 to the 9 qubits. We're looking at a very high number, very far away from today. It might be actually a little bit further away than a practical quantum computer that might be already able to solve quantum only issues already much earlier. But we also can't wait till these two lines touch, because at that point it will be too late. You gotta think OpenPGP is a slow protocol. I mean, we're all here for email, so we know that it takes a while to deploy things. It takes a while to standardize things. It takes a while. And once everything is standardized, we still have to encrypt our email with it. And our emails may be sensitive information for the next 5, 10 years. We don't know. It depends on the content of the email. So what we want to do is act now. Please, next slide. So if you want to hear more about quantum computers, go tomorrow in room K4, 401. I think it's like the next room or so. And they are going to talk about quantum computers. And I think there's a very good question, why are we already building software for them if we don't even have one, or at least a practical one? But here we're here to talk about how to build software against them, to protect from this. And that is something we should start to do right now. So this project actually started in, I missed the slide. So now what are we focusing on is post-quantum cryptography. Post-quantum cryptography is the cryptography that runs on classical computers and can be, there's no known algorithm that can break it onto quantum computers. Next. So symmetric cryptography is first of all just partially affected. This means there is Groovel algorithm. Most of you might have heard about it. I personally don't really believe in it, but no, it's math is not a belief, but it's still very impractical. So I think that, and also we already have a solution, doubling key size. So I don't think it is that bad. So like, I don't think we need to do anything about it. Now, in asymmetric cryptography, the game is different because there are polynomial algorithms that would solve elliptic curves, for instance. So we do have a few attractor problems that are good, and we know that so far they're safe, and they're mostly lattice, error correction, multivariate, or hash-based. Next. So all of them are significantly lower, have much bigger artifacts than elliptic curves nowadays, maybe with the exception of some lattice problems. So NIST, in fact, this year standardized three algorithms, MLCAM, MLDSA, and SLHDSA. MLCAM and MLDSA are structured lattice-based. They are actually fairly comparable to RSA, let's say, in size and speed, while instead SLHDSA is hash-based, and it is a monster. Its signatures are in the tens of kilobytes to hundreds of kilobytes. It takes seconds to generate them. And why should we care about even why should we care about it? Is because it gives a much stronger security guarantee than ML algorithms can. Like, the security proof is almost bomb proof. Next slide. So we started this project in March 2022, so already 2 years ago. Three years ago we started this project, and if you look at it, we are right now with a complete draft. So it takes already 3 years just for the standardization part. Clearly, if a quantum computer were out there, we would act a little bit faster, but standardization is a pain. We do have an OpenPGP working group draft that implements MLCAM, hybrid with X25519 and X448. That's as much as MLDSA as well. The reason is the trust that we have in these algorithms is good but partial still, and OpenPGP, as much as email, you might have heard that you send an email today, you store it for the next 20 years. So what happens if MLDSA or MLCAM actually is broken in the upcoming future? What we do is use it hybrids with curves. And then we do have SLHDSA as standalone. We do trust its security, and the reason why we decided to embed it is more for software signing. The reason is several agencies in Europe require hash-based scripto to sign, and OpenPGP is really big there. Next slide. Next thing. So our aim is not to break OpenPGP, not to break anything while we deploy this. We will break something. Looking at the Delta Chat guys, if you try to put an SLHDSA signature into a Delta Chat environment, we'll talk about this. Okay, we see each other outside. Yeah. So I think we do have to investigate what is going to break, but at least for MLCAM and MLDSA, they seem to be fairly good, like substitutions for what we have nowadays, at least comparable to RSA. So this is the, we do have three implementations right now, open source, running with this code. And two of them are OpenPGP and GoPenPGP that we maintain at Proton. And the third one is RMP, that is the implementation that Thunderbird is using to do crypto, to do OpenPGP. And this has been done by MTG and funded by the German Security Office in German. So, yeah. These three implementations implement all the test vectors that are in the draft, and it seems like it's looking good. It's looking green, as you see. We filtered out all the ones that don't support it. That's why it looks so nice. So we will urge, like, I think right now we're at the step where we should ask implementers to actually adopt this, to interoperate with it, and users of mail agents to see basically what changes do they need to do to the specifications, to the user interface to fit in the specifications, because some operations, key generation for an SLHDSA key is 17 seconds. So think about it. Yep. But the game does not end here, because not everything is a bad news, as there are also some good news from Daniel, and the good news comes from instead the symmetric side. Please.
Yes, thanks. I will stay here too. Yes, so Aaron talked about the asymmetric cryptography that we're working on adopting in OpenPGP. That's kind of the exciting part that everybody is interested in, is the post-quantum, it's the buzzwords, and so on. We don't actually always need asymmetric cryptography. And there are cases, for example, in email, if you want to store something just for yourself, so let's say you're drafting an email and you want to store it encrypted, or your email archive, if you want to store it encrypted on a server for backup purposes, for example, you can actually encrypt it symmetrically since you're the only one that needs access to it. And in that case, using symmetric cryptography is actually much better because it's typically faster. And as Aaron said before, it's not so much affected by the arrival of cryptographically relevant quantum computers. So, if it's so much faster and so much better, why don't we use it? Well, until now, OpenPGP keys have typically only stored asymmetric key material because they were primarily intended to communicate with other people. And if you are sending an email out, then yes, you do need asymmetric key material. However, now we are proposing to also store symmetric key material in OpenPGP keys. Such that, especially in those cases I was saying before, if you're storing a draft or your email archive, you can still encrypt them with an OpenPGP keys, exactly the same as you're doing today, but you can use the symmetric key material that's stored in there instead. And it can happen almost transparently. If you encrypt with your own private key, it can use the symmetric key material, and it will be, you know, faster and smaller and so on. And instead, if you're using a certificate or public key from someone else to encrypt an email, then the implementation can automatically use the asymmetric public key in there to encrypt, which is what you need when you actually need to go and send the email. So we have a draft describing this. It's not very exciting, but it tells you how to store the key material in an OpenPGP key packet and so on. And this draft was adopted in the OpenPGP working group last year. And since then, we've been discussing it there and working together on how this should be done. And we have implemented it in our implementations, openpgp.js and GoPenpgp. So this table is even more selective than the one you saw before, since it has only two implementations instead of three. But RMP has, I believe, expressed some interest in implementing it as well. So hopefully also this table can reach a size of three in the future. And more generally, my hope is that all the implementations that are thinking about implementing post-quantum cryptography, given that it's the buzzword and so on, will also think of implementing good old symmetric cryptography, just because it's faster and smaller in the cases where asymmetric cryptography is not needed. So yeah, in conclusion, quantum computers are coming, maybe, probably, possibly. We don't know when, we don't know how good they will be, and whether they can break the cryptography that we're using today at some point, but it might happen. So therefore, we are working on post-quantum cryptography, just in case. So post-quantum cryptography is definitely coming. We should be using it to make sure that the emails that people are sending today are still protected in 20 years, 10 years, 30 years, who knows. But it shouldn't be the case that they can be decrypted by a three-letter agency or whoever happens to record your emails once they acquire a cryptographically relevant quantum computer. So that's why we're working on that. It will have some downsides. Typically, post-quantum cryptography is a little bit slower, and the artifacts are a little bit bigger. However, there is also a good case. In the case where you can use symmetric cryptography, it will actually become faster and smaller, hopefully, instead. So yeah, that's roughly the conclusion of our talk. So thanks a lot. And, yeah, go ahead.
So if we do not move to this like MLDSA and this PQC algorithm soon for asymmetric, so all the email communication until that point when I am migrating are like prone to harvest now and decrypt later. So I should do it like as soon as possible.
Yes, so the question I will repeat was if we don't switch to these post-quantum algorithms such as MOCM and MLDSA, all of the emails that you send today will be vulnerable to the harvest now, decrypt later attack. The answer is yes, unfortunately. All the emails, if they are recorded by either the mail transport agents or like some three-letter agency or whoever records the ciphertext of the emails, and if they then get a strong enough quantum computer to be able to break the key, then yes, they would be able to decrypt them at that point. So yes, it is the reason that indeed we should switch to post-quantum cryptography as soon as possible. I would wait until the standard is finalized and the implementations are rolled out. But yes, it should happen in the near future.
At the CNSA, there's some guidelines also from the BSI. There are some guidelines out there from, sorry, I forgot to repeat the question. If there's any guideline from any agency that requires us moving. There are some guidelines. They tend to be fairly conflicting, but all align that by 2030, we should be definitely there.
You mentioned that you have implemented some.
Oh yeah, well, that after okay.
The, one of them not because you consider that.
The yes. So the question is after what happened with SIDH that was breached in a laptop in a matter of minutes, why didn't we also implement SLH DSA in a hybrid fashion? So. The security proof of SLH DSA is like really, really solid. The other issue that can happen is an implementation bug. So someone who implements it poorly so that a key can be recovered or it can be broken. Our long-term idea is to not have hybrids. So the idea is there is clearly someone thinking you could even make two hybrids out of two different post-quantum algorithms, but I think we are aiming at keeping it simple. And therefore, we judge that algorithm is a may, so it is not a must implement for this draft. And we thought that whoever trusts it, whoever thinks that it is ready, can use it. But for the must algorithms, we require the hybrid still. By the way, I wanted to add actually something earlier to your question, and that was the fact that you will need to rotate your certificate. So you will need to generate a fully new certificate deployed on the internet, and it will need to be V6 as of now. So like there is V4 is what we're using nowadays, and V6 is what is standardized in URFC. So there will be a transition period as well, where you will need something like two certificates out there for people who are legacy and people who understand already new standard. So is there already a standard? Yes. V6 is already standardized. PQC, we're trying to get it through the working group right now. Like, yeah.
So, as you were...
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Please, go.
I read recently that
CPG implemented post-quantum.
Yeah.
But I don't know which algo. Is it this, any of the algos that you're implementing, and are they interoperable or not?
GNUPG, I would like to take this one actually. Sorry. GNUPG implemented, sorry, exactly. GNUPG, the question is whether GNUPG, the implementation of GNUPG and our implementation of post-quantum is interoperable. So I am apparently personally mentioned into the GNUPG specification as in the acknowledgments, and I am medium happy about it. Because what happened is that they took an earlier version of the draft and changed a few parameters and squatted, I would say, a type, a code, an algorithm ID 29. And effectively, we now switch to algorithm ID 30 instead, because they will not be interoperable. Not only is an older version of the draft, but also has a few design modifications that were just implemented. If you have anything to do with that.
Yeah, so there is some unfortunate history there, because even already during the crypto refresh, which became the new RFC that Aaron mentioned, RFC 9580, GNUPG sort of halfway through the process dropped out of collaborating in this process because they were unhappy about certain things, and I mean they were discussed at length in on the working group mailing list and also in private, and you know we tried many times to reach some kind of compromise, but in the end were unable to, which I think is rather unfortunate. But yeah, the end result is that GNUPG is at the moment not implementing V6, which is the version that is defined in a new draft, and they made a fork of the OpenPGP standard, which they call LibrePGP. So I still remain hopeful that hopefully we can reconciliate and maybe you know try to get back to being interoperable. But at the moment, it's the case that GNUPG won't be interoperable with most of the other implementations that that we mentioned.
How do you see the clearest path to interoperability, where there's consensus on which algorithm to use and what parameters to set? Are they being stubborn, or are you being stubborn, or are you both being stubborn?
Right. So, So I'll repeat the question. What's the clearest path to interoperability, and who's at fault? Who's being stubborn, right? So the answer to the first part, in my view, is the best would be for everybody to implement everything, which is not a technically very nice solution, but for the user it would probably be the most convenient if like everything worked with every implementation, right? And that there is a clear path to that. It's just a matter of doing the work, right? Well, and also the political agreement, of course. And we do actually implement some of the things that that GNUPG has specified in our libraries for compatibility reasons. So our hope is that you know, one day GNUPG will reciprocate and also implement this stuff. Today it seems unlikely. That is my view, and I think if GNUPG were open to that, in principle, we would also be open to implementing the other stuff that they specified. I can't speak for everyone in the OpenPGP working group, but that would be my view.
Yeah, briefly, the algorithms that are inside, so MLChem and like the elliptic curves hybrid are the same, so effectively we would not need to duplicate the crypto itself, but we just need to duplicate the whole wrappers around it. That is still bothering, but less.
Thank you.
Can we take one more? It's covered, okay.
Yeah, we have time still.
So it seems to me the implementation of hybrid chems seems quite different between, say, TLS.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems odd that basically reinventing hybrid KEMs in different standards.
Yeah.
Why isn't there one way of doing hybrid KEMs?
So this is a good CFRG question, the crypto forum research group at the ATF. But TLS is doing things differently, especially when it comes to hybrid KEMs. Why? I would say that protocols have different requirements. Like, we do have a long-term archival storage requirement. TLS can just deprecate anything right now and be say, okay, tomorrow this thing doesn't exist anymore, and in a matter of weeks, months, it would be disappeared. We would have to deal it within 30 years probably. So I think that that's the main, and also TLS has a much higher focus on performance. If you look at X-Wing, that is one of the combiners that was proposed in the TLS working group, effectively it is, oh, there, we can save a hashing cycle here. OpenPGP is a monster. It's like, have you ever tried to work with it? It will just be much slower than this. So effectively, you could argue that we don't need that critical, it's not that critical in our path, and the constructions that we can allow can include a broader security proof because we can afford it into the... I was also in the KEM combiner working group at CFRG. We didn't manage to get to anywhere close to an agreement on how does a KEM combiner look like.
I would have a dummy question probably for the end. So as a crypto dummy, so you had this bar mentioned, like, you know, which might be reached at any oncoming given time. So now if I would start using post-quantum encryption, obviously that bar would, there would be a second bar at a certain time, right? Is there any anticipation of maybe also from the history of classic non-quantum cryptography, will the first algorithms to be recommended here be probably vulnerable because they are immature or something like that, or will that be a safe thing because so many experience has been going into that?
So the question, I think the answer goes into more of the algorithms that we have here. Will we find a way to crack them on a quantum computer? If we do, they will, as probably, we don't know how hard will it be. So it might be actually that with this bar or even a lower bar, if we look at Psyche, what happened is they even broke it on a normal laptop. So the risk is the fact that these algorithms are new or ish. Some are newer, some are older. And the question is whether they will be broken at all. So in that regard, we don't know where, if a second bar exists, and where would it be? And I don't know. My personal opinion is that we will not, this might actually be quantum resistant for real, but I am happy to have a more choice. So I would be happy to see NIST also standardize or other entities standardize other algorithms so that in OpenPGP we might offer MLChem and also something else chem that is based on a different problem.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.